Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock in Thursday, the 5th of July, the year 2012. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon here on KTOO News in Juneau. Today we'll talk to Christian Cooks and Colleen Goldbridge about First Friday at the Franklin Street Gallery at the Marinoff Hotel. Find out about this weekend's Little League tournament. We'll talk to Kathy Reddy about the Whale Project and the Whale's Tales. And Nancy DeTrini will give us a rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. At Writer's Almanac Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. There is a flood advisory for Glacier Dam Lake outburst in the Mindanao Lake and Mindanao River until 6 o'clock from Friday. Forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with low temperatures around 49 degrees. Forecast for Friday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain and high temperatures around 60 degrees.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Winneman Wintu tribe held its women's coming-of-age ceremony in Northern California this week. Tribal members say the U.S. Forest Service disrupted the ceremony instead of protecting it. Christina Onnested reports.
After negotiating with the U.S. Forest Service, the agency granted the Winneman Wintu's request to close 400 yards of the McLeod River to boating traffic for 4 days, while the tribe held its ceremony on ancestral land. The closure bans all motorized boats from entering the area. So when the Winneman Wintu brought their own boat for hauling elderly women across the lake during the ceremony, Forest Service officials raised a fuss. David Martinez, a member of the Winneman Wintu tribe, says the U.S. Forest Service is causing more harm than good.
For the people that are supposed to be closing the river for our peace and our dignity for this ceremony, they've been the biggest problem. They've come in every day threatening to tow a boat out that was here. It's just, they've done nothing but disrupt and slow down the ceremony.
Forest Service officials issued 2 citations to the Winneman Wintu chief and spiritual leader, Colleen Cisfranco, who had been on a near 20-day hunger strike while she called on the government to uphold her tribe's religious freedoms. One citation was for having the boat during a river closure, and another was for violating the Forest Service rules. Christina Onnested, National Native News.
Congress continues to haggle over provisions in the Violence Against Women Act, and that could have major impacts on how authorities respond to domestic violence in Indian Country. Wyoming Public Radio's Tristan Autone has more.
2 parts of the Violence Against Women Act would specifically impact Indian Country. First, tribal courts could assert more jurisdiction over non-natives involved in domestic partnerships with Native women on reservations. The second would give federal courts and the U.S. Attorney's Office increased powers over domestic violence cases. U.S. Attorney for Wyoming Kip Croft says the changes would give his office more power to help victims on the reservation.
We're doing the best we can at the present time, but those provisions, both for the tribal court and the changes in federal law, would, in my opinion, be of great assistance to making things better for women generally and women victims on the reservation.
Currently, 2 versions of the act are circulating through the U.S. House and Senate. Opponents of the provisions question the constitutionality of increased jurisdiction for tribes over non-natives. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
The U.S. Department of Education's National Indian Education Study was released this week, showing varying progress. The study shows average math scores for 4th grade Native students attending Bureau of Indian Education schools have improved since 2009, but the overall academic progress of students has stalled since 2005. According to the U.S. Department of Education, the study provides data on the educational achievement and experiences of Native students and reveals details about cultural exposure, academic aspirations, school conditions, and curriculum. The full report on the study can be found on the Institute of Education Sciences National Center for Education Statistics website at nces.ed.gov. The Native American Contractors Association has published its 2012 Best Practices Guide. The guide is a tool for its members when developing and implementing compliance and ethics programs. It was first published in 2007. It includes updated information like regulatory changes to the Small Business Administration's 8A Business Development Program. The Contractors Association is a national Native advocacy group based in Washington, D.C. During this week, annually, Aboriginal people in Australia celebrate their history, culture, and achievements during NAIDOC Week. NAIDOC, or the National Aborigines and Islanders Day Observance Committee, holds events across the country. Aboriginal people established the committee in the 1920s to increase awareness of the status and treatment of Indigenous Australians. The 2012 theme is Spirit of the Tent Embassy, to celebrate 40 years of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy and Advocacy Group. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:06 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. First guests are Christine Crooks and Colleen Goldrich here to talk about the Franklin Street Gallery at the Baranoff Hotel. Christine and Colleen, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks. Mine too.
So tell me a little bit, you're coming up on a two-year anniversary next month?
Yes, well, actually, this first Friday will mark the 24th opening that we've had at the Franklin Street Gallery. It's amazing how fast time flies, and it's been a very interesting enterprise. Locals will remember that space in front of the Baranoff Hotel. It's been a variety of things, gift shops and all, and it has wonderful windows that face the street. And the manager there, Steve Hamilton, had this brilliant idea to just provide a public gallery space that is really managed by the front desk at the Baranoff, and he was looking for some folks to help manage that. And five of us stepped up and said, sure, we'd be very interested in having a space where we could bring together exhibits of Southeast Alaskan artists. It's original work. It's not cards and duplicate G. Clay prints of that nature. They're all original paintings or works of art. And so we're really proud that for 24 First Fridays, we've been able to mount a show in this space. And it's really a great space because people, even just walking or driving by on Franklin Street, can poke in and see an exhibit. And we've tried, especially in the gray of winters, to have bright, sunny shows and provide things that really appeal to a wide variety of people. And with the idea that we just want to have a place to exhibit local art.
And those five artists are?
The five artists who share the management are Constance Baltuck, Barbara Craver, Puanani Ma'unu, Jane Stokes, and myself, Christine Crooks.
How do you select artists to have shows in this show?
We periodically get together as a group, divide up the year. One person is in charge, completely in charge each month, and share ideas of different artists who we haven't seen work of in over a while. People have approached us. There's not really a formal process, but we get together and look for somebody who can pretty well fill the gallery. It's a large space, about 40 feet. And then we approach those artists and talk to them about different months. And so in the 24 months, we've had a really nice selection, a cross-section of things from ceramics by Dean Guanelli, big oil paintings by Jay Crondell, photography by Iris, I forget the pronunciation of her name, Corhoven Penn. Mick Beasley has had work, McGill Pratt. And the five of us try to reach out also to the Plain Rain group. We all had started as Plain Rain painters in town. And so just are aware of local painters who have some work to exhibit.
And who's in the show this Friday?
This Friday, it will be the five managers, sort of celebrating the 24th month. what I can say personally is that it has been really a challenge to keep a gallery full. Sometimes artists do have some work, but not quite enough for 40 feet. And so those of us who are managing the gallery, that is our obligation, is to make sure that we mount a good show. And so it sort of has made me step up the production level.
Colleen Goldrich, you're also in the studio, and you come up with some unique jewelry designs.
Well, I For this show in particular, I'm trying something new. I made some mountain scene pendants, and they are made of sterling silver where I've overlapped and layered to make mountain scenes, and then I've used a bimetal that's a 22-karat gold sterling silver metal to put a moon, or some might wish it's the sun, over the mountains. You can take your pick on that. But I come up with different ideas. Just, it could be anything from looking outside, you know, going on a hike, looking at the mountains, seeing a color combination from that, to just being inspired by things in a gem show that I might go to go buy pearls and that sort of thing, and seeing new, what's out there, what's the new, you know, color combination and that kind of thing.
Would you call it a delicate craft? Are you working on something so small that it's something that has such a large impact on people's wearing attire?
Yeah, it is. It's a very, very delicate, although making it often isn't. It's the metalwork itself is pretty labor intensive, and it's dirty. So it's nice to see it come out all bright and shiny when I do that kind of work. But the process of getting it there is pretty physical and messy.
What kind of tools do you use?
I use saws, small. These are all like in small scale. Saws, hammers, different kinds of stamps. I have a rolling mill where I can roll the metal through the mill and get a texture of whatever it is that I'm rolling it against onto the metal. So I've done that using air moss that hangs in the trees. That gives a really nice texture on sterling silver and gold. And I've used screens like that you would put in your drain. Those make a cool texture, watercolor paper, all sorts of stuff. And then I have an oxygen acetylene torch and that kind of stuff.
How do you get started doing jewelry?
With my mother-in-law. She is from Eugene, Oregon. Her name's Hannah Goldrich, and she is an incredible artist who's been making jewelry for, I want to say, close to 60 years now, and she taught me how to do it.
How many pieces have you put together for this show on Friday?
I think I probably have about 30 to 40 pieces, from ranging from earrings to pendants to bracelets and necklaces.
And they're all for sale?
They all are for sale, well, except for one. Yeah, the rest are for sale. One already sold.
Christine, you want to talk about the other artist's work, please?
Yes, the other artists who are showing pretty much were landscape artists. Barbara Craver and myself do pastels, Jane Stokes watercolor, Pua Maunu, and she does oils primarily, and Constance does primarily acrylics. Although it's interesting because we've had a rather rainy past couple months, and it's been really hard to go outside and do landscapes, and I notice a lot of still life, things, paintings of interiors is sort of popping up in some of the work, just because it's very difficult to always work outside in the kind of weather we've been having. A little bit of drizzle, our normal stuff is fine, but we've had some, yeah, what'd they say, 6 inches of rain last month or something. And it's hard to work outdoors in that.
Do you use umbrellas?
Yes, actually. Many of us have what are sold as sun umbrellas for plein air painting, and we use them for rain.
Show starts at what time is Friday?
It's 4:30. Is the Franklin Street Gallery. In the past, we've had wine tasting. I don't believe there's wine tasting tomorrow, but we really encourage people to come. And I think the forecast is for actually something like today, this afternoon. It'd be a great day to get out and enjoy and see so many things. Colleen's work is just always stunning in the two large gallery cases we have. And it just is wonderful to see. And these are really one-of-a-kind pieces. Mm-hmm. You know, you can buy lots of jewelry, but these are pieces that really make people feel special. And the paintings, I think, especially in the summer, a lot of visitors to town see these, and it reminds them of this beautiful place that we call home, that something for them to take back with them.
Colleen, do you find yourself working on more pieces than one at a time?
Yes, absolutely. It's the more I work, the more ideas I come up with. And so when I get in a groove, I really start making a lot of jewelry.
Do you work on several pieces simultaneously?
I do. I get to a certain stage with them, and then I start on something else, and then I kind of bring them all along, because the finishing process is easier to do all at once. which is all this buffing and things like that. So I like to do that at one time rather than breaking it up too much.
And Colleen Goldrich and Christine Cook, thank you for being on the air with me today. The show starts tomorrow at 4:30?
That's right, yeah.
At the Franklin Street Gallery at the Baranoff Hotel. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No,
not that I can think of.
Yeah, and we just thank everybody for having these wonderful First Fridays. It's always a treat to get out in the Friday afternoons and enjoy what all the artists in town are putting out.
Absolutely. It'll be all over Juneau, and it's just a great afternoon, evening for people to be out and about in Juneau. It's lots of fun.
Do you ever find yourself in a store and seeing somebody wearing a piece of your jewelry and they don't know it's yours necessarily, and they go, oh, I did that.
I do. I love it. I'll be sometimes in a restaurant and I'll look and someone will have my hoops on or a necklace, and I love it. I love seeing people wear it, and every now and then I go up and I go, hey, I made your necklace or I made your earrings, and it's really fun. It's one of my favorite things to see. Yeah.
And Christine and Colleen, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
Hope here is a brand new CD to the station. The time is 3:19, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guest is Kathy Redder, here to talk about the Whale Project and in particular Whale's Tales. Kathy, thank you for being on the show with me today.
Great. Thanks for inviting us.
So for people who do not know, tell me about the Whale Project, please.
Okay, well, the Whale Project is a community group that, in recognition of the 50th anniversary of statehood, is commissioning Skip Wallen, the sculptor, who has several sculptures around the state, two in Juneau, Windfall Fisherman and Gang of Four over at the Dipec Hatchery. We have commissioned him to create a life-scale bronze humpback whale and fountain.
Life scale is pretty darn big, isn't it?
Pretty darn big. It's just remarkable how large these creatures are.
What's the timeline on it?
Timeline is we're hoping to send Skip to the foundry by this fall. We have the full-scale, full-size whale carved in foam, which is the first step, and we're hoping to get to the foundry for the casts and then on to the molds.
Tell me about the Whale's Tails project.
Okay, the Whale's Tail Trail is a project that has we've created, or the students at the university under the direction of Pedar Dalthorpe have created 10 6-foot-tall resin whale's tails, and each of them is about 4 foot wide at the where the flukes are, and then they are about 2.5 feet wide at the base. And we held a competition, and we received 18 ideas from 16 artists, and we chose 10 of them, and those 10 resin whale's tails will be all around Juneau all summer until the big auction on Saturday, September 15th.
And if you were a participant or a viewer of the 4th of July parade yesterday in Juneau and Douglas, you saw some of the whale's tails and got me to thinking about it, inviting Kathy on the show with me today to see if she can describe the artist's names and the medium they're using and also where they're going to be ended up.
Great. Okay. I've got the list right here. We had 5 of the tails in the parade, and 3 were on the Whale Project float, and 1 was on the Coast Guard float, and the other one was on the university float. So I'll read these and tell you all the information I have. Dan DeRue's creation is called the Bubble Feeder, and it's painted with bubbles and has a bubble machine. The sponsor there is Juno Drug, and they're looking at possibly being on the awning over Juno Drug or just right across the street. Then Clarissa Rizal and Lily Hope created Yah Huni, which is Whale Friend in Tlingit, and the sponsor is Huna Totem. And I have a call into Huna Totem to find out where they want to place their whale for the summer. Then Gabe and Jerry Smetzer created the Story of Floon, and that was the one that was in the Juno Empire with the ripply colors on it. Young Smetzer is the three-dimensional animated artist who's been in the paper also. And the Paradise Cafe is the sponsor for that, and I just talked with the owner, and she's going to place her whale right next to the Paradise Cafe, just right across from the steamship dock. The next one is by Bruce Simonson, and it's called Tales on the Tail, and it is sponsored by the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, and it involves posters from all arts groups in celebration of the upcoming 40th anniversary of the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. Who knew they were going to be 40 years old?
Who knew any of us would make it this far?
I guess so. Laura Allison Miko has created Juno Roller Girls Kick Some Tail, which is a very nice, edgy one that the Nugget Alaska Outfitter is going to sponsor, and that will be placed out there at the Nugget Mall, either in the store or in the Nugget Mall. Then Pua Maunu, Jay Crondell, and Christine Crooks created Dive Splash. The sponsor there is the Corvus Design Landscape Architects. That's Chris Myrtle's business. And that's the one that was in the parade on the university float. And I also have a call into Chris Myrtle. He's on vacation, and I'm sure he'll get back to me right away to say where he wants that one placed. The next one is by Commercial Signs and Printing. It's by Averill Valise, and she's the artist who has the exhibit at the City Museum, and it's called Places in Culture. It's just beautiful. They're thinking of putting it on the roof at the Emporium, if we can work out the details there, so that it'll be a commanding view and people will be able to see it from a distance. The next one is by Bethany Rodriguez. It's about the Coast Guard. It's called Patchwork Paratus, and Willie's Marine is sponsoring that, and they're going to have it out at their store. In the Valley area. And then Fran Downey, Colleen Goodrich, and Evelyn Russo, and I think you just had Colleen on the radio here, their creation, they call themselves the Alley Cats, and they call their creation Zippity-Doo-Dah, and that was sponsored by the True North Federal Credit Union. That one was in the parade as very exciting. Lots of these zip ties in glorious colors in concentric circles, and that will be placed at True North Federal Credit Union in the Valley there.
And I think these people are also responsible for the zip ties that have been gracing stop signs around town, which I want to publicly thank them for right now, because that is such a cool idea and such a great presentation.
Guerrilla art. I love it, too. And then the last one is called A Tale of Two Cities, and it was in the parade on our Whale Project float. It's by Nona Diamond. The sponsor is North Pacific Erectors, and they would like to have it placed at the Visitor Center, the newly created Visitor Center that their company just built over there by the second cruise ship dock. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering the name of it, but they're right there where the tribute, the memorial to the USS Juno used to be. That's where the visitor center is, the new visitor center.
Near where the armadillo used to be.
Yes, good old T. Terry's armadillo.
These are all fundraising for the Bronze Whale Sculpture and Fountain, which is coming up soon in the near future.
That's right. These whales will have it's called the Whale's Tail Trail, and all summer long they'll be presented to the public, and we'll have information about how to get to each one of them. And then the big auction is Saturday night, September 15th, and we hope that people will come and bid on these whales' tails. The sponsor has the right of first refusal, so the sponsor can meet the high bid and take the whale home. But we just are very grateful for people's enthusiasm, and we look forward to being able to send Skip to the foundry this fall.
If people need more information or would like to donate something to the cause, how can they do so?
The best way is the website. Nancy DeCherney is hosting a wonderful section on her website, and that's jahc.org. Or they can just come right across the street over here to the Jack and look at the 8-foot whale that is destined for the university. And that'll be give them an idea of what the big whale will look like. There's a silhouette on the wall of the Jack that shows you exactly how big the big whale will be.
Inspirational works of art by our local community residents. Kathy Reddy, thank you for being on the station with me today.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Oh, just we hope everybody enjoys this. This is a public art at its best, and we're having lots of fun with it, and thanks to everybody for their support.
When my grandpa was a boy, he went down to the general store, saw a picture book of a whale shooting its spout and flashing its tail. Then he got a sailor's dream about cruising around on the salty sea, joining up with a fishing crew to go out and get him a whale or two. Tell me, what kind of men are these that sail upon the salty seas, up in the rigging in the afternoon, swabbing the deck and sharpening harpoons? Hooray, up she rises, hooray, up she rises, hooray, up she rises, early in the morning. Hooray, up she rises, hooray, up she rises, hooray, up she rises, early in the morning. Shanghai's by the light of the moon, put out for Boston in the middle of June. Now for 6 months out at sea, it's nothing but death and misery. Set off on a 3-year cruise, the Union ship and the Union crew. And after 6 months you begin to see that whaling's not what it used to be. A modern ship and a modern crew, with sonar scopes and exploding harpoons. A mechanical boat made out of steel, a blown machine built to kill all the whales. Hooray, up she rises, hooray, and up she rises, hooray, and up she rises, her line.
deep blue sea. We kill them for the company. Drag them alongside, chop them in two, and melt them down and sell it to you. The heartache is a sailor alive, and keep the tears from his eyes as he remembers the good old days when there were no whales to save. Thank the Russians and Japanese for scouring the deep blue seas, looking for ivory and perfume, plastic toys and pet food. Hooray, up she rises, hooray, up she rises, hooray, up she rises. Help us out, clap your hands, come on. Hey, 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 come on, hey, clap your hands, come on.
About 3:32, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. In the studio with us now, we have members of the Southeast Alaska District All-Star Little League Tournament, which starts tomorrow. And it's Casino Channel Little League that's putting it all on. In the studio with me is David Caesar. David, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thank you.
So could you tell me a little bit about the tournament, please?
Well, the tournament's going to start tomorrow, run through Monday, and it starts with pool play. The noon game starts it off tomorrow. We'll have three games tomorrow, three games Saturday, three games Sunday, and out of those 3 days of pool play, we'll take the third and fourth place, and they'll play at 3 o'clock, and the first and second place teams will play for the championship at 6 o'clock Monday evening.
Those times have changed, I understand?
Yes, the times on Saturday and Sunday have changed from the newspaper. Instead of 12, 3, and 6, the games will now be at 8, 11, and 2 p.m., we had some difficulties getting a team here, so we had to rearrange the schedule a little bit.
I've asked our star players here to mention their names, and where I guess everybody's here from Juneau.
Yeah. I'm Brant Holtberg, and I'm returning.
And what position do you play?
Catcher.
All right, step up the microphone. Our next individual.
I'm Oliver Mendoza, and first year in AAA, and I'm third base.
My name is Christian Ledman, and this is my first time, and I play first base.
Christopher Nicholas, and I'm returning, and I play first base.
I'm Kona Ogoy, and I play shortstop, and this is my second year.
My name is Gabe, and I play Gabe Story, and I play first base, and this is my second year of All-Stars.
Okay, I'm going to ask your team members here one more time another question. Tell me, what makes baseball fun for you?
It's fun just being able to play with the other kids and just having the experience.
It's fun, like,
it's fun. That's a good enough answer.
Okay. It's fun batting, fielding, and pitching.
It's fun, like, it's like, yeah, playing with the other kids and, like, having experience in, like, batting and fielding stuff, yeah.
I like to have the experience to play baseball with other kids from all different places, and, yeah.
What makes baseball fun for me is learning new stuff and getting better each time, and, yeah.
And what's fun for me about this whole baseball in Juneau is that when I was 9 years old, I was playing on the same fields these guys are playing on at this time. Fields haven't changed much. Neither have the kids. They're all great sportsters.
Cool. I have a philosophical question for the team members here. Baseball is more than just hitting a ball and running around in circles, isn't it? What makes up for a good team strategy to win the game?
It's good. Just being prepared. And it's more than running around bases and fielding a ball, just because it's harder than that, and there's a lot more to it.
Talk about the coaches, how much fun the coaches are.
The coaches are really fun. They, like, put you in every position you want to do. Like, you want to be... If you want to be first, they put you there. Like, yeah.
Sometimes the coaches get angry or happy.
Sometimes the coaches yell at you for missing like one grounder. Or yeah. Sometimes the coaches make you run if you, like, miss the ball or watch the third strike without swinging.
That's how I bet.
Sometimes the coaches, like, yell, make you do push-ups if you make a bad throw or drop the ball. And then they tell you to use, like, two hands or something.
All right, what do you have to respond to that, Dave?
We yell in a positive way.
Yeah, it's for us to learn. Well, at least try to.
All right, the guest on our channel, Little League, is starting a tournament at the Southeast District All-Stars tomorrow. And if you want to go through the times again, if you want to, please.
Yeah, the first game is going to start tomorrow at noon. Then we have one at 3 and 6 o'clock. Saturday, the first game will be at 8 o'clock, 11 and 2 p.m. Sunday, same thing, 8, 11, and 2. And then the games that are going to be playing on Monday, third and fourth place at 3 o'clock, first and second place at 6 o'clock.
All right, thank you for coming down tomorrow. And how many team members coming in from what other cities in Juneau? And we got them in the Southeast area?
Yeah, we have a team coming from Ketchikan, POW, Sitka, and we have six players coming from Haines. And since they were so short on players, we have given them several players on our team or Juneau team so they can actually come up here and compete.
What makes Little League Baseball just a little bit different from regular All-Star Baseball?
Really not much. Little League Baseball here in Juneau, we have usually around 5 to 550 kids every year. It started back in 1952 by some parents that wanted to get a league put together called Channel Little League. It's grown over the years, and it used to be located where the federal building was, and then they moved it out to Glacier Valley, I want to say back in the 60s, and they actually used the old Dennis Egan boards as the roof. And it's been going on ever since 1952. It's just a fantastic league. We let everybody play, anybody and everybody who wants to come out. They do have some scholarships that they provide some kids that can't afford it. And it's just a great atmosphere out there. And the coaches don't yell that much, but...
They are tough.
Whatever. Yeah, they are tough. And going into All-Stars, they get a little bit tougher. But for the most part, Gaston Channel Little League is just, it's something else. It's really enjoyable to play here in Juneau.
All right, Dave Caesar and Little League All-Stars, thank you for coming down to the station. Is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
You guys want to say anything?
No.
Come on out, guys. One thing I'd like to mention is that right now, some of these guys are third generations playing here in Juneau. Anybody that's played over the years, come on out. It'll bring back some memories of when you were a kid playing here in Juneau Little League. Come out for the hot dog, the Frito pie, and we got lots of candy in the snack shack as well. And it will be some excellent baseball.
Got the best.
All right, thanks for coming in, everybody.
All right, well, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Saturday summers, when I was a kid, we'd run to the schoolyard, and here's what we did. We'd pick out the captains and we'd choose up the teams. It was always a measure of my self-esteem, 'cause the fastest, the strongest played shortstop and first. The last ones they picked were the worst. I never needed to ask, it was sealed. I just took up my place in right field. Playing right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Playing right field can be lonely and dull. Little leagues never have lefties that pull. I dream of the day when they hit one my way. They never did, but still I would pray that I'd make a fantastic catch on the run and not lose the ball in the sun. And then I'd awake from this long reverie and pray that the ball never came out to me. Here in right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Off in the distance, the game's dragging on. There's strikes on the batter, some runners are on. I don't know the inning, I've forgotten the score. The whole team is yelling and I don't know what for. Suddenly everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wandering, what could it be? They point to the sky and I look up above and a baseball falls into my glove. Here in right field, it's important, you know. You gotta know how to catch, you gotta know how to throw. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow.
The Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 5th of July, 2012. Today is the aphelion, the point in the year when the Earth is at its farthest distance from the Sun. The perihelion, the point in our orbit when we're closest to the Sun, occurs in January, when we're about 5 million kilometers closer than we are at aphelion on this day. It was on this date, 1687, Isaac Newton published one of the most important books in the history of science, his Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy, which contained Newton's three laws of motion, including objects in motion tend to remain in motion, and for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. He also unified celestial and terrestrial mechanics under one umbrella, gravity, which caused planets to orbit the sun, moons to orbit the planets, and earthly objects like apples, for example, to fall to the ground when they are dropped. It was on this date, 1937, Spam was unveiled by Hormel Foods, pre-cooked pork and ham in a can, little potato starch, salt, sugar, sodium nitrate, to keep it pink. We're not sure what the name Spam actually stands for. Some people think it's a combination of spiced meat and ham. In Britain, they call it specially processed American meat. Other people say it means something posing as meat or a special product of Austin, Minnesota. Whatever it stands for, SPAM is supposed to be written in all capital letters. It's the birthday of Chuck Close, the artist, born in Monroe, Washington, 1940. He grew up dyslexic, didn't do well in school. Father died when he was 11. His mother developed breast cancer. The family lost their house. The boy got a serious kidney infection, was bedridden for almost a year. But he got through it all by drawing and painting, and he took his first trip to the Seattle Art Museum after his father died. Chuck Close, who's known for his enormous portraits painted so realistically they look like photographs. Chuck Close, who has a condition called face blindness. He's unable to recognize individual faces. And it was on this date in 1950 the Battle of Osan took place, the first battle between American and North Korean troops in the Korean War, which had begun on the 25th of June. The North Korean People's Army crossing into South Korea. They captured Seoul. A few days later, American troops met the North Koreans in the city of Osan, just south of Seoul. The North Koreans came in with tanks. The Americans were not adequately armed. The tanks rolled right through them. The Americans lost the battle and retreated. Here's a poem for today by William Meredith, Tree Marriage. In Chota Nagpur and Bengal, the betrothed are tied with threads to mango trees. They marry the trees as well as one another, and the two trees marry each other. Could we do that sometime with oaks or beeches? This gossamer we hold each other with, this web of love and habit, is not enough. In mistrust of heavier ties, I would like tree siblings for us, standing together somewhere. Two trees married with us, lightly, their fingers barely touching in sleep, our threads invisible but holding. A poem by William Meredith, Tree Marriage, from his collection Effort at Speech, published by Northwestern University Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well. Do good work and keep in touch.
Time is 3:48 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our last guest today is Nancy DeTrini from the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council here to talk about local art activities. Nancy, thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Have a good 4th.
Yeah, how about yourself?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of kids to stay away for the right amount of time.
That's right, unless you were over in Douglas, in which case it rained.
Well, I was there for a little while.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. We had a nice time, and I always enjoy the parade. It's great to see everybody out. Next year, let's all be in the parade. See how that would be. Okay, so it's a little bit slower this week. I think everybody's kind of recovering. But the really big news is, of course, that tomorrow's First Friday, and in fact, we have quite a few openings for First Friday, so do plan to come out. We're right now over there, Dwayne Bosch and Ray Watkins are setting up their exhibit called Long Shadows. It's a bunch of wonderful carvings, masks, rattles, all sorts of things, so come by, and when you get over there, then you can pick up your little guide to where to go after that. The Alaska State Museum continues with its show When Over There Was Here, World War II in Alaska. And it's between 6 and 7 p.m. Steve Henriksen, who's a curator over there, will do a walkthrough, sort of guide you through that exhibit. They also have the Dan DeRue History of Alaska exhibit that is still up, and that's a lot of fun. So do try to get over for that.
Steve is going to be on the show tomorrow at about 3 o'clock.
Sort of guide you, pre-guide you.
That's right, to get everybody hopped up and ready to go.
All righty then. The Silver Bow will be open late, and they have the photography by Larry Johansson. The City Museum will be open, but I don't. It's not one of their free nights, I don't believe. There's going to be a retrospective of works by longtime Juneau artist Herb Bonet. The Art Matters group is bringing his stuff together at the Zephyr Restaurant Mezzanine downtown on Seward Street. After the opening, then it will go back out to their store out on Old Dairy Road. But it's a real nice opportunity to remember and see. And I believe Herb will actually be there. Talk to him a little bit about all of his work over the years. The Reach will be open. The Canvas will be open, as will Pie in the Sky. They have the Collaborations exhibit, which is works collaborations between the Reach artists and the Canvas staff. The Rookery is showing some really fantastic photography by Joel Mundy. And it's between 7 and 9 p.m. Travis Cruteau will be doing have live music for you. They have the kitchen and bar will be open, so nice evening at the Rookery. Pat Race and crew are headed off to Comic Con. I'm assuming that's short for convention. They will. There's some new works by Pat in the Alaska Robotics store, which is now on Front Street, and they're going to have 15% off all their old graphic novels. So if you haven't stopped into the Alaska Robotics store, do so. It's loads of fun, and it's right downtown, right on Front Street. Wander over to the Senate building. In Figment is Monica Dougherty's Visitations. And in the Juneau Artist Gallery, Mark Vincel Watercolors and Solid Body Electric Ukuleles.
I'd like to see that stuff. I had him down there for that.
Well, we should have one of his ukuleles on the show. You should bring it in, see how it works.
Mark, if you're listening, come on down.
Come on down, Mark. We want to see this. So I believe it's made out of local woods, and so that's it. Both of those are in the Senate building. If you go around behind the Paradise Bakery, down that little alley, to this new store called Adorn, they will be having encaustics by Kay Close and jewelry by Laura Hosey. If you go up to the gallery at the north, which is up South Franklin Street, I'm sort of got these out of order, I have to say. A gallery of the north is featuring landscape oil painter Mel Matlian. Let's see, and then up at the Franklin Street Gallery in the Baranoff is it's their anniversary, I think, of opening this gallery.
The 24th show.
And so it is the five women that opened it, Constance Baltoc, Barbara Craver, Christine Crooks, Pua Maunu, and Jane Stokes, and as well, Colleen Goldrich will be there. I heard something about some interactive stuff going on. There's not a wine tasting at the Baranoff, but Dan is playing music at 7 o'clock, so there's all of that. At 5:15 in the Rainforest Yoga Gallery or Studio on South Franklin Street, upstairs, Steve Wolf is offering a free First Friday yoga session. So if you need to stretch out, you can go do that. At 5:30, we have concerts in the park and Marine Park. And, of course, it's going to be sunny and gorgeous, so that's where we're going to have it. But if it, for some unknown reason, would be not sunny and gorgeous, we'll have it over at the Jack. The music on Friday, 5:30, Jazz Berries, wonderful jazz piano, Clam Soup, and the Hula Dancers are going to be there. So we suggest that we will have some chairs available. Northern Light United Church has offered us the use of some of their folding chairs, but it's always a good idea to bring your own more comfortable chairs if you'd like. So
BYOC.
BYOC. And, you know, it's 5:30, then you can either wait till 7 and go around and pick up some dinner or bring a picnic to the park and have a nice evening with the family.
Or you can hire the Chicks with Chairs from the 4th of July parade.
I enjoyed that. It reminded me of a lawnmower marching band at one point that we did.
A lot of creativity this year.
Yeah, that's right. It's just more fun than it should be some days. Live music up at the Tram with Tom Loker and Wayne Norland at 5:30. They're in the Timberline Bar and Grill, the top of the Mount Roberts. Out at Nugget Mall all weekend is a Festival of Fun Charity Carnival. And it starts Friday night and goes through Saturday. And there's a DJ at the Alaskan Hotel and Bar, and Jason Caputo is doing Sit In With the Band at the Rendezvous. And that starts at 9:30 downtown. So lots of things to do Friday night. On Saturday, there's the thing I wanted to get out of there. Let's see what we got going on. Saturday night swing. They've moved from the Rookery up to the Canvas. That'll be at 6 p.m. on Saturday night at the Canvas. They'll do lessons from 6 to 8. So if you are unfamiliar with swing dancing, you can become familiar. And then there'll be an open dance from 8 until 9. The DJ Brief Star Diatribe NW, I'm not sure exactly how you say that, but he will be at the Alaskan Hotel and Bar. On Sunday, it is the Saturday Market. Sunday Market, excuse me. Sundays, I never know what day it is.
So now, tell me, what day is the market on?
It's on Sunday. It starts at noon and goes until 4-ish. We've been getting produce in from Gustavus, so if you're looking for a little lettuce or something like that, come on down. Not sure who the music is going to be this week. Last week we had Jazzberries and Clam Soup and Flutatious, and let me tell you, it was delightful. So do come down to the Sunday Market and see what you can find. John Hayes at 3 o'clock is offering a piano recital at Northern Light United Church. It's a free concert, but donations are accepted. He's one of Juno's wonderful pianists, a student. He's been studying with Sasha Tutinoff and other people, and he's offering what he's been studying for us to enjoy. Also at 3 o'clock over at the Douglas Public Library, it's family movie afternoon. They're showing Judy Moody and the Nut Bummer Summer. It's free and open to just about everyone. You can go to
the Nut Bummer Summer. Okay, I'll take
the Nut Bummer Summer. Yeah, so it's a nice opportunity for folks over in Douglas and everywhere else. Ballroom dancing at 6 p.m. on Sunday at the JRC downtown. On Monday, there's a bunch of camps opening up for kids. The STAR program, which Perseverance Theater offers, does still have some openings. If you have a young person who's interested in the theater and would like to participate, give them a call at 364-2421. This year, the performances will be of Romeo and Juliet, Pirates of Penzance Jr., and a play by Ishmael Hope called The Bailer at the Back of the Boat. I don't exactly know what a junior version of Pirates of Penzance would be, but you can find out by joining in. So give them a call, 364-2421. They have scholarships available, all that sort of stuff. Also, for kids ages 9 to 14, the Advanced Lego Robotics Camp still has a few openings. And the other, the sort of the Saturday thing camp that they've got going on is accepting wait lists. This is offered by the Juno Economic Development Council, 523-2300. So if you've got some young people that would like some stuff to do, there you go. Wednesday at 6 p.m., it's hula dancing classes at the Philippine Community Hall, 723-2708. Give them a call. And there's a whole bunch of things that happen every week. The Juno Bridge Club, which is Duplicate Bridge, it's on Sundays and Wednesdays. There's the Chamber of Commerce, there's a cribbage club, there's preschool story times, Rotary, Toastmasters, toddler things, all kinds of regular stuff going on. And you can get all this information by going to your website or my website, www.jahc.org and
www.ktoo.org.
Yeah, so nice little week of things to do, and looks like the weather will be decent, so let's get out.
And Journey, thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
It's just about 4 o'clock, and you are tuned to KTOO in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Aka Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Sarsuna at 91.9. An excursion inlet and icy street here, KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau and Digital Channel 871. We're also online at www.ktoo.org. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock on a Juneau afternoon, Pat Moore will be your host. We'll find out about a new family support group with guest Dr. Joanne Gartenberg and Rabbi Dov Gartenberg. We'll get the rundown on Sitka's Home Skillet Music Festival with guest Ashia Lane. And Steve Hendrickson from the Alaska State Museum will be giving us a preview of tomorrow night's first Friday presentation, walking through World War II World War II history. There's a flood advisory until 6 p.m. Friday for the Menlo Lake and Menlo River area. Forecast for tonight, cloudy skies with periods of light rain in the evening, low temperatures around 48 degrees. Mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain tomorrow afternoon. Rain likely to Friday night with low temperatures around 49 degrees. Saturday looks like rain with high temperatures around 57 degrees. Sunday through Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. If you'd like to be on the show or know someone that should be, tell them to give me a call. 463-6425.
Chrysler plant up the road, bringing on another 1,100 employees to make the cars that the world wants to buy.
President Obama talks jobs in the key swing state of Ohio.
For Thursday, July 5th, it's All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Coming up, the president's bus tour and the Republican response.
An explainer about health insurance exchanges that states are to set up under the new law.
Also, what happens when a company town loses its company?
Reimagining South Bend, Indiana.
You look at some of these buildings and it literally looks like a bomb went off. So, you know, getting past that legacy is not...